and welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Wednesday. It's the 27th of July, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners at KJAA in Globe and KAPR in Douglas. The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com, along with an archive of at least the previous 2 weeks' programs. Plus, thanks to a new agreement with the online Tucson Sentinel News Service, the Buckmaster Show can now be heard anytime at tucsonsentinel.com. We are grateful for that new collaboration with Dylan Smith, the publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. We are live here on the Buckmaster Show, weekdays, noon to 1. The lineup for today's show will spend the first half of the program with Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll. At the bottom of the hour, we will resume our CEO interview series presented by Trio. Today, we will be spotlighting Dan Alkenbright, who heads up the Salon Corporation here in Tucson. At 45 minutes past the hour, we will welcome the Reed Park Zoo Administrator, Susan Basford. Susan will be discussing the accidental poisoning death of one of the zoo's four giraffes. The other giraffe, who also ate the oleanders, is doing very well. And perhaps you saw that very touching photograph of Denver the giraffe on the AZ StarNet from the Arizona Daily Star. And Denver looks like she is making a full recovery. We'll get an update on Denver's condition. The Buckmaster Show is an interview-driven talk show, but we do encourage you to be part of the conversation. And it's very easy for you to do so. You can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040, 790-2040, or toll-free from anywhere really in North America, 1-866-725-5467. We were glad to hear today on Facebook that we have a gentleman who is listening to the Buckmaster Show in San Juan, Puerto Rico. So a big shout out to that gentleman who says he's enjoying the program down in the Caribbean. You can also email your questions at buckmastershow.com, or you can submit them by using the Buckmaster Show on Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And of course, if you have a story idea or a particular guest that you want us to interview, we would encourage you to contact us. I do urge you to check out our BuckmasterShow.com website, and you will see a very impressive list of some 24 contributors to the Buckmaster Show. These are people who are experts in their field who contribute at least once a month to the Buckmaster Show. I want to talk to begin with about Rhonda Bodfield's Arizona Daily Star piece about the annexation. This came as a surprise to a lot of people in the area of River and Craycroft. Rhonda writes today that the city of Tucson is weighing annexation of a commercial project being proposed at the southeast corner of River and Craycroft Roads. This would include a hotel, retail, and residential development. The 40-acre Rio Verde Village would be divided into two distinct projects, a 23-acre market parcel, which would offer shopping, dining, retail, and hospitality uses. There'd be a 17-acre parcel that would include single-family residences, townhomes, or assisted living complexes. The annexation and the zoning would be approved simultaneously. Well, Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry says he thinks the neighbors might be surprised, saying that a 6- or 7-story hotel wouldn't be approved in the county. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll, and I'm one of those residents in that area of River and Craycroft. First of all, good afternoon to you, Mr. Carroll.
Good afternoon.
And
Mr. Constituent.
Yeah, constituent. I am in the Ann Day Supervisorial District in that area there. And I was very surprised. This is the first I had heard about this development. First of all, Supervisor Carroll, are they talking of, this is land that's in the county right now? What's the deal?
Well, this is the southeast corner of River and Craycroft, and it slopes down towards the wash there.
Right, just where they usually do the Christmas trees,
right,
and
the
everything
pumpkins,
else. Yeah, all that
pumpkin
stuff.
Pumpkin Christmas tree,
yeah,
patch there.
Yeah, and it's across from Walgreens there.
Right, exactly. That's the spot. It's been owned for decades, I'm sure, by a group put together with Mr. Joe Caesar. They've come in for rezonings before, and they've been treated rather fairly, I believe. They've got a section line corner there. We're pro-development as a board. We're, you know, free market people in our perspectives, and all of us. And Mr. Caesar went through the process, and he got a commercial corner there, and was looking for this. Well, I guess it would be 60 acres altogether. Is that what the article read?
40 acres, Rio Verde Village is what we're talking
40
about.
40 acres there.
And is that county land?
That is Joe Caesar's personal property with a group that he owns. And the other thing, when they came through, the county had the zoning privilege at that point. They were going to be the ones who would make the decision, so we had some public hearings. They were very contentious. But at the same time, Joe got out of it what I thought was a very aggressive, rezoning. He got what I thought was a very good return. You know, when people buy land, Bill, I have to remind them, no one's guaranteeing them a return of a, you know, there's upzonings only come through, I think, merit. And neighborhoods are part of the process that brings a subdivision application or a development pad application or an entire development for commercial, as he says here, and residential mixed use also has a process. So not to belabor this, but I thought he was treated fairly by the county as the board went through it. Of course, the economy has been tough on people, and we've been granting extensions to the zoning privileges or the upzonings that have been granted before, because we understand how financing and other parts of the market are very difficult to get through at this point. But I was surprised about the annexation conversations, frankly, because it's a way to circumvent the public process. And it's done about money, not about constituents, not about, you know, it's about, as the representative of the city said in the article, it's about retail tax, it's about generating revenues to help the city. And that's the biggest fear of the Foothills whenever you talk about annexation, is more slaves in the galley, Mr. Foothills resident. That's what they want. And they cherry pick
So they would be coming to myself and my neighbors in that area asking if we would be willing to join the city? Is this
no,
no.
They're going to end it right there, and that's what I'm saying. Is
what
that's
are they going to do? They're
going to cherry pick the retail corner right there. They might try to pick the other retail corner. As you mentioned, there's a Walgreens there, and there's the Pima County Library there. There's many restaurants. I won't name them all. Mm-hmm. And then there's a big empty shopping anchor tenant space.
Yeah. Used to be
Abco,
big grocery. Yeah, a big grocery store.
Long back. It's so long ago that none of those franchises are alive today. But I will say the grocery business is not our subject today. It's Joe Caesar's southeast corner. And I would say about it that it lessens the credibility of the city when they're going to do it simultaneous annexation and upzoning of such a great density. And look, I'm for if there's going to be a hotel there, but I want to remind you that TMC went through a process in the city. So the city does have its rules and regulations when it wants to. And the city went through a very painstaking process for a development agreement at Tucson Medical Center. Tucson Medical Center is a very loved, beloved organization around this community. They're thought highly of. It was a couple-year process, and I think Matt Smith or even Julia Strange or people that work at TMC can tell you how the public process was painful for them and how they didn't get what they wanted. I have to say that that's the right way to do it, though, is to have it be thought out, process from both sides that's going to include a city as maybe a mediator sometimes, or a county as sometimes the person who coordinates all these public hearings and then the final votes. But I just don't like the way this one smells. It's very typical, though, of a government that's trying to increase revenues and not trying to participate in the public process to do so. I also want to say that there's a similar situation that happened recently over by Indian Ridge neighborhood, a historic neighborhood. It's on Tancredi in between Sabino Canyon and Camino Principal. And basically there, they came out with a cell tower that would be right at the gate, covering up where it says, "Welcome to Indian Ridge, historic neighborhood."
68-foot tall.
And, you know, AT&T was a good corporate neighbor, and I believe they've pulled that request off the table, and they're going to relocate that. I commend them for it, especially Jerry Fuentes, the president, who I talked to about the issue several times and who I trust is, you know, a good corporate neighbor now because he did the right thing. Let's see if Joe Caesar can be a good corporate neighbor to do something above board.
Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll is with us for the first half hour of the Buckmaster Show on this Wednesday. If you would like to join in the conversation, perhaps you have some opinions about that proposed development up near River and Craycroft, give us a call, 790-2040. But I've got lots more in the next 12 minutes or so to talk with Supervisor Carroll about. But we are going to hear now from the fine Buckmaster Show sponsors, so stay with us.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. With 30 projects underway, including River Road to Ruthroth along La Cholla and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution in the area and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Biro Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Biro Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Biro Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at viroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011, and the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
It's 12:20 on the Buckmaster Show. We're delighted on the Buckmaster Show to have Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll. He's always a good guest, very articulate, knows what's going on in the community. And we're going to go to the Buckmaster Show live line. We've been talking about this proposed Foothills development on the southeast corner of River and Craycroft. Bob, you're on the air with Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll. Go ahead, Bob.
Thank you. I have a question for Mr. Carroll.
Sure.
You were asked the question, is the property we're talking about in the county or the city?
It's in the county, but
the answer was, who owned it?
Sorry, Bob.
Is it county or city property? And if it's county property, how can the city do this?
I'm sorry,
that's a good
Bob.
Question.
You know, when you're live radio, you don't have notes in front of you, and I just kind of got twisted up maybe for you, and I'm sorry about the about any confusion I put out there. The Joe Caesar property is currently in Pima County. The city wants to come over and annex it, and while at the same day they annex it, they want to upzone it for him to build this potential seven-story hotel right along the Reed Oak Wash there, and that's what it is about. So I'm sorry about the confusion. Mr. Caesar owns it, whether it's in the city or the county, you realize that, but currently the jurisdiction it resides in, the people who would be making the decision about it are county supervisors. If the annexation happens, it's an overnight annexation. There's a guaranteed upzoning in store for him. So it's a winner for the property owner. It's a winner for the city. And it's kind of a loser for public process and above board decision making, and certainly the adjoining neighborhoods. Although it depends, everything deserves a hearing. I don't even know what hotel. They say boutique. What does that describe? I'm not sure.
Ray Carroll is with us, Pima County Supervisor. Bob, thank you for that question. That does clarify it. So right now it is in Pima County, but it could be annexed into the city and then upzoned. Supervisor Carroll, what about this special op-ed piece you had in the Arizona Daily Star? Pima County is poised to capitalize on the sixth C, going back to the old five C's: cattle, citrus, climate, copper, and cotton, for which Arizona was known for the five C's. So you say, how about a sixth C, clean industry?
How about a sixth C? I think in reference to, I think the reinvigorated Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau, where we've got an oversight panel that's part of that group right now. We're trying to build up our tourism incomes. And also people like your next guest, Dan Alkenbright.
Yeah, Alkenbright, CEO of Salon Corporation, will be joining us in about 10 minutes.
We want to know about more opportunities like that. And by putting these op-eds in the paper, by trying to identify us as the home of the 6C under the economic development banner of Arizona, Tucson could really start to get more and more, not only industries like the solar, which is certainly a clean industry, but like the Roche pharmaceutical deal that we did up in Oro Valley. We helped. It's an 8-acre parcel. It's lots of jobs, lots of income, lots of tax revenue, but also it was an incentivized deal. And we want our banner to hang high. We want our business shingle to resonate in the clean industry businesses that people like Dan Alkenbright or people in other states' economic development groups realize there are expansions and potentials. I know a 600-person call center was announced, and that was a very good announcement. I think that's a clean industry. You certainly see that they're a growing group, and there's an opportunity for people who are looking for second incomes or people who are stay-at-homers, whether they're a stay-at-home parent or whether they're military-based folks that are spouses of military.
Yeah,
I think those are good jobs.
You can set your hours in those type of industries.
It's usually a casual workplace. Mm-hmm. They're flexible. And like you say, you can set your hours. And the bio industries and the other clean industries that Tucson's trying to attract are very good long-term for our economy. It's very important to recognize that our economy is now based on water primarily. The number one economic development tool we have in the long run is the water. The climate's always going to be here. The other seas, some are falling and others are rising, and the clean industry is certainly a sea that's rising.
Okay, and folks do want to talk about, Supervisor Carroll, this annexation. It certainly has annexation attempt, I guess. It certainly touched a nerve here in the community. A lot of folks concerned about it, and we're going to go now to Don. Don, you're on with Supervisor Ray Carroll, wants to talk about the annexation process.
Yes, hi, thank you.
Sure.
This all seems very, very mysterious to me, and I'm wondering what's going on under the table. How does this owner of this property know that this is going to be rezoned, and how do we know that there's not some shenanigans going on under the table before all this even happens? I mean, this feels like we're getting grifted a little bit. Can you explain how we can trust all these city supervisors?
Well, they're city council people, and it's about transparency, of course, and that's exactly what you referenced, Don. The transparency issue in my service to this community sometimes has been lacking, but in a case like this appearing in the Star News this morning just for the first time, it's lacks transparency from the beginning, and I don't think it is proper to promise an upzoning for an annexation, because you are going to be rewarded financially. There is going to be the city sales tax that's going to be applied to every bed stay, every other purchase on that property. That's why they cherry pick corners like they did over at the apartments and the commercial stuff at Catalina Highway and Bear Canyon and Tanque Verde. It's very similar to that annexation that they did. They used to get away with it a lot easier, but now with the type of communication devices that each and every one of us holds in our hands daily, and the other ways we communicate on the laptop and the big computers that we use at work and home, people are going to get the message. It's amazing to me, Bill, every time I look at this iPhone that I carry in my pocket, that I have as much technology as the guy who first walked on the moon.
Yeah,
right,
Neil
here
Armstrong.
In my pocket.
That's right. You've got it right there in your pocket. All that stuff.
All better to communicate with and bring out the troops to say, hey, what is going on with this? I'm not going to say there's any, I don't know, did he say grifting going on yet? As I said earlier, everything deserves a hearing, and I guess that'll be heard too.
You know, we really don't have time to get into Rosemont, but you've certainly made your opinion known in the past. I've got less than 2 minutes to go, but any update on when that's going to come before the air quality permit, before you and your colleagues on the Pima County Board of Supervisors?
No, I really do not, Bill. I've been requested now a Freedom of Information Act from Rosemont's attorneys. They are requesting, I might, just have to send them years worth of faxes and emails and letters that I've received. I'm kind of bogged down on that side of the Rosemont to have any updates from the air quality people. They've really created a lot of work for people, and their lawyers have. Of course, they're trying to just, I don't know why they're, it's a little provocative. But in the end, we have not interfered with that air quality permit. We've said it, and I'm an honest person. Well, I give you my word. I've said it to their company representatives. I've said it to their lawyers. I will not interfere with the process that's granted to our Pima County Development or Pima County Department of Environmental Quality by the state, not to the supervisors. It's granted to the director of the department, not to the supervisors. And I haven't interfered with it politically or otherwise. And I just, I'm not sure what I can answer that other than to say it's going to come out when it's due.
Okay, Supervisor Ray Carroll, that half hour just flew by. Very interesting. Thank you very much. We'll have to have you back a little bit sooner, I think, than we did.
It's always great. And I agree with Mike Stoops when he said in the newspaper the other day that it's football season almost, Bill, and that's like Christmas to people like us.
It's the Buckmaster Show.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. With 6 days to go before a potential government default, congressional Republicans seem to be warming to a plan being crafted by House Speaker Boehner. It would increase the U.S. borrowing limit and cut federal spending by $1 trillion. A Fed survey finds the economy worsened in about half the country earlier this summer because of weak home sales and signs of a slowdown in manufacturing. A Norwegian mother is recounting how she and her teen daughter kept in touch throughout the 90-minute shooting rampage last week on the island where the teen was attending a youth camp. She says they exchanged text messages every few minutes. The losses continue to deepen on Wall Street. The Dow is now down about 188 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinca Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tanca Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tanca Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza. top of the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
It's 12:34. This is the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030, the voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, covering just about 8 Arizona counties with our very strong signal and reach. Every few weeks here on the Buckmaster Show, we introduce you to a leader of some of Tucson's largest companies and organizations. The CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Trio, offering programs and services to support the attraction and expansion of companies that offer primary high-wage jobs to our citizens. Since 2005, Trio has facilitated the relocation and or expansion of nearly 40 companies in the Tucson region, representing over 10,550 jobs and a $2 billion economic impact. For more information, visit trioaz.org. Today, we're going to be talking with Dan Alkenbright, the president and CEO of Salon Corporation, a wholly owned subsidiary of Salon SE based in Tucson. Salon is a leading provider of solar solutions for residential, commercial, and utility scale applications. With a modular manufacturing facility in Arizona, Salon Corporation plans, builds, and operates large photovoltaic power plants throughout North America. Dan Alkenbright brings more than 20 years of experience in project management and executive leadership in automation and large-scale system design. Dan Alkenbright, thank you for being on the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you, Bill. It's great to be here.
There is so much going on in your industry. You've been leading the way, Salon, really. Tell us a little bit about the company. I know it's based in Germany, but Tucson is the major player.
Tucson is the headquarters for Solon. We have about 140 total employees. About 125 of those are based in our Tucson location. We've been right here in Tucson since 2007. The German executives of the company saw that the U.S. was going to be the next big frontier in terms of photovoltaics, and strategically set up an office right here in Arizona. The abundance of sunshine, and knowing that Arizona would be one of the leaders moving forward in PV.
Does the name Salon have some meaning?
It does. The number of executives. This was back. Ours is one of the oldest PV companies established about 25 years ago.
Before clean and solar became real fashionable.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. Exactly. By a bunch of scientists. They were sitting in a cafe in Berlin, talking about the name of the company, and the Italian word "sol" for sun. And the English word "on" for "on,"
turning it on.
Right? Exactly.
You had a big project that was announced in the media earlier this month. Your company teaming up with Tucson Electric Power Company and the University of Arizona to build a solar energy storage technology research center at the UA Science and Technology Park. The park, we had Bruce Wright, who heads up that park, on the program a couple of weeks back. This is a big deal for that area, isn't it?
It is. The benefits of solar are pretty amazing, with the clean renewable energy and the job creation. Like any other technology, it has its challenges. Well, one of the challenges of renewable energy, such as wind and solar, wind is only energized when it's windy, and solar is only energized when it's sunny. The energy storage project is really the next big frontier that will allow companies like Solon and TEP and as a first-rate research institute, the University of Arizona, to really study how do we take the energy that's created during the day, store that energy, so that the energy can then be removed from the storage and distributed throughout the evening hours.
Tell us a little bit about photovoltaics. What is the photovoltaics? That's a tough word sometimes.
That's why we say PV.
Yeah, PV. What is it, and what's the process for developing it?
One of the first things to understand when someone says PV, there's a misconception, especially in the desert here, that PV uses water. PV does not use water. It's basically a dry technology. It's a manufactured panel. The key ingredient of that panel is silicon, and basically it takes the energy from the sun and converts that into electrical energy. Those panels are all connected together like you connect light bulbs on a Christmas tree, and each one batteries in your flashlight. The more batteries you stack, the more power, the more voltage that you get. Those are basically stacked together out in a large-scale solar field, and then that energy from that conversion process is then basically stepped up through a series of devices called inverters and transformers to be placed on the electrical grid.
Any questions about solar, you can ask them. Dan is the guy. Dan Alkenbright can answer those questions for us. The phone lines on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040, if you have a question about solar. So when we think of solar with a local homeowner and then what you do, do you do basically what would be installed on perhaps a home but on just a huge scale compared to that? Are they similar or what?
They're identical.
Okay.
So a homeowner in a residential application would maybe have 15, 20 panels on their home. We have a project for Arizona Public Service out in Gila Bend, Arizona. That project has 93,000 solar panels.
Wow. How will this PV help the local economy develop?
Well, the simple answer is creating jobs. I was fortunate last week, Bill, to be out at our Gila Bend site to kind of view the progress of that project. The technology that we're using out in Gila Bend, as I mentioned, is 93,000 solar panels, and they're mounted to another product that Solon has, which is called our tracker. That tracker then moves during the course of the day to adjust the tilt of the solar panel to get the maximum amount of energy from the sun. We had a very key event last week where we energized the first 4 megawatts of that system onto the grid. That doubled the amount of utility-owned solar that APS has in terms of their overall portfolio. So we had a great celebration. We brought in a barbecue for the workers, and you can kind of
solar burgers on the solar grill, right?
Exactly, and you can see the job creation when you drive around the field. It's over 200 acres, and you see a work crew here and a work crew there. But when you bring everyone together for lunch, there are over 180 electricians, mechanics, engineers who do our soils inspections, cement workers. There were college interns who were using this as a great summer job. 180 people employed to create the solar power plant over about a 7-month span.
How about your own home? Do you have solar on your own home?
I do. There's an interesting story about that. If you want to,
if you're going to be, go ahead. Give me the short version.
The short version is so in a discussion with Congresswoman Giffords a little over a year ago, she asked me that same question. She said, "So Dan, you know, as a leader in the solar industry, do you have solar panels on your home?" It wasn't on a radio talk show, but it was just a private conversation, and I had to say, "Congresswoman, no, I don't." And she looked at me. She looked at me pretty disappointed, and she said, "Well, what's your plan?"
Yeah.
And I said, "I plan to have them installed by the end of the year."
Was it a big deal to do it? Or?
No, it was very easy. I used a local installer here in Tucson that distributes our Solon panels. TEP was absolutely wonderful to work with, just a minimum amount of paperwork. The solar installer, Solar H2O, walked me through the entire process, the project was completed and turned onto the grid in less than a week.
Remaining few seconds with Dan Alkenbright from Tucson Solon Corporation. Tell me about the future. Does it look real bright for this industry?
Absolutely.
Bright being from the sun, of course.
Well, bright just being from a from an overall business and job creation standpoint. What's happening? Why is that happening? The price of solar just continues to go down and down. 2 years ago, we used as a measure kind of the cost per watt. That cost per watt for installing a solar system has reduced by half of what it was even 2 years ago.
So it's really coming down in price.
Really coming down, which is going to continue to expand the market and make it more attractive for residential, commercial, and utility scale users.
Dan, thanks a lot. Come back and visit us. Give us some updates on what's going on with solar, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot. This is the Buckmaster Show coming up now on 12:45. We'll be talking about what's going on with that giraffe out at the Reed Park Zoo, the accidental poisoning out there, that's coming up next. From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com. If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and Fifth. I did, and my feet thank me every day. The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit Service. With 30 projects under construction, including Tanque Verde Road and the Catalina Highway to Houghton and the bus pullout at Ina and Oracle, please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA 4-diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tanque Verde, at the southwest corner of Tanque Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tanque Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tanque Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
A It's 1248 on the Buckmaster Show. We are on AM 1030 KVOI. It is The Voice and The Voice Network, our stations carrying this program in Globe and Douglas. We're very happy everyone is along for The Buckmaster Show. Well, the accidental poisoning death of one of the four giraffes at the Reed Park Zoo here in Tucson has really saddened our community and really saddened all of Arizona. Last week, two of the zoo's giraffes, Denver and six-year-old Watutu, the zoo's lone male giraffe, were fed toxic oleander cuttings by an apprentice zookeeper who has since resigned. Watutu died while Denver is recovering. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is Susan Bassford. Susan is the administrator for the Reed Park Zoo. Susan, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for inviting me to join you.
I really wanted to bring you in person into the studio to really get an update on how Denver is doing. Many of us saw that very sweet photograph that was on StarNet, Denver kind of up and about and was being fed, I think, some carrots.
She has been eating carrots with wild abandon. And the latest news from today, and, you know, we deal in a lot of physicality at the zoo. So when I tell you that she's urinating and defecating as well as eating,
we take that as a very good sign, believe me. So the functions are starting to really kick in.
That's correct. I will continue to watch her closely, but today we're feeling pretty good.
This has really been, as I said in the intro, it's been so sad, and I know this has really been like a huge shock to everyone that's associated with the zoological community and the Reed Park Zoo, hasn't it?
It has been. You know, I take personally everything that happens at that zoo. I'm the zoo administrator, so everything that goes on there is my responsibility. And I will tell you that it's been tragic. It's been difficult. It has been the worst week, I think, that we have had to deal with there because it was a preventable accident. Certainly, there was more than one action that went into sort of the culmination of this accident, but it's been very challenging for me and certainly for the staff.
And the apprentice zookeeper, certainly this is something that individual will have to live with the rest of their lives.
And that's absolutely true. This was an individual that was trained for several months, had done a very good job, made, I guess, an unfortunate decision, split-second decision. You know, we have policies and procedures in place. We have very careful training. We can't control the human error, and any one of us is capable of that.
Susan Bassford is with us. If you have a question about what's going on at the zoo, the handling of the giraffes, please join in this discussion, 790-2040, 790-2040. The oleanders, they're very prevalent in the area over at Reed Park, correct?
They are. They're throughout the park. They were 40 years ago planted around the perimeter of the zoo. So those plants at our perimeter are mature. They're enormous. They grow through the fence. We are certainly evaluating, well, clearly all our policies and procedures at this point, but evaluating whether or not those oleanders should stay.
When something like this happens, is there an investigation process that goes that happens locally within your organization and then perhaps the National Zoo Federation, or I don't know if it's called a federation, but...
But you're absolutely right. I mean, something like this, and how sad it is that it takes something like this for us to go back and look at our policies and procedures. They've worked for us for many, many years, but we do our own internal investigation, have certainly talked with everybody involved, and have reviewed what we have in terms of training materials and written materials. At the same time, we're licensed by USDA. We had a USDA inspector come by yesterday. He went through the same sort of questioning process that we had done ourselves. We will get a written report from him. It probably will take a few weeks. He has been the same inspector that we've seen for certainly 20 years, if not longer.
You've dealt with this particular individual.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. We have, I believe, Susan on the phone. We have Wayne. Wayne, you're ready to go with Susan Bassford from the Reed Park Zoo. Go ahead, Wayne.
Yes, I missed a little bit of your discussion about the oleanders. Last I knew is that the zoo was planning on taking out the oleanders around the perimeter of the zoo. Is that correct?
We are still looking at that as a very definite possibility. What happened last week was something that previously was unthinkable to us, and now we're at a point where we are starting to think about the unthinkable. And so, yes, it's a possibility.
Thank you, Wayne, for that call. And I'll just follow up on Wayne's call. Would it be a huge deal? They're somewhat of a barrier, right, the oleanders? I mean, these are huge plants. Like you said, four or five decades old. I mean, you'd have to figure out some other kind of barrier there.
You're absolutely right. They do form our perimeter, and they provide a screen, essentially, from the public, the Reed Park area, to the zoo. And so, yes, we can't just rip them down. We can't just take that fence down. It really is something that requires a great deal of planning and thought.
I know the Zoological Society has been, the folks want to make a donation to really help about the giraffe encounter platform. Tell us about that.
You know, And I will say that I think the fact that we have the giraffe encounter platform is one of the reasons people feel so deeply about
this
tragedy.
Very close to the giraffes.
And it's one of, I think, the strengths of our zoo is the fact that people get so intimately involved with the animals. The society, because they had gotten so many inquiries and sort of expressions of support and people looking for a way to help, set up a zoo project fund, and people can donate to that. It may partially be used to help replace the oleanders when we take them down. It can be used for any zoo project, but it is a way for people to make a contribution and to help.
Jim is ready now on the Buckmaster Show, and his question again about the oleanders. Go ahead, Jim.
Thank you. Well, I was just wondering what percentage, if any, of the oleanders can the animals access themselves? Could they accidentally eat? In other words,
Good question. If
they can't get to any of them, why can't they just put maybe a chain link fence to keep animals away from them without destroying all that barrier and going through all that expense and tear out?
Thank you, Jim.
That's a great question. And I will tell you that there is no oleander that can be accessed
by the animals
accidentally. That can't happen right now. There is, I don't know if you've been to the zoo recently, but we have a rather extensive perimeter fence, and we do many behind-the-scenes tours where it's not impossible, although, as I said before, previously unthinkable to us, that someone would actually grab a handful of oleander and quickly feed it to an animal. We are thinking the unthinkable now, and I do agree that it will be an expensive proposition, and it will be a long-term proposition. It is something that I feel is only responsible to think about right now.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I have not been to the zoo recently, but I'm planning to go because of all this attention about the giraffes, because I want to get up close and personal with Denver and the other two remaining giraffes who were not injured.
Well, I'll tell you that yesterday was Denver's first day out at the feeding platform as part of the giraffe encounter. And the guests that were at the zoo were thrilled to have the opportunity to see her and see how well she's doing.
Are there hours to see her?
She is put out in the morning now. Our summer hours are 8 to 3. She comes out at 8 o'clock. We do a giraffe encounter at 9:30. And she is generally right there eating carrots.
Quickly running out of time, but I want to get back to the trimmings. These are trimmings that are done around the zoo area. Are they routinely fed to the animals?
We feed browse routinely to the animals. Our groundskeepers are trained to provide piles of non-toxic vegetation for the zookeepers to use, which is great for the animals. It provides them with activity and gives them something interesting to do.
How's the zoo doing overall, other than this horrible incident?
I would say the zoo is doing well. We have exciting things on our horizon. The expedition Tanzania, our 7-acre expansion is going up before our very eyes. There's a lot of exciting things happening at the zoo. It's sad that we have to deal with this.
And what about ticket prices and any fun activities for the summer?
You know what? Summer's kind of a hard time to have fun
activities.
For the
kids and everything, I know.
We changed our hours for the summer, so we are open from 8 to 3. We have a little spray park in the zoo called Can You Get Wet? And the kids come in. I don't have children, so I thought they would, you know, get their hands and feet wet. Oh, no. They get soaked in that little piece of the zoo. So that's always fun.
Susan Bassford, thank you for being with us. Good getting an update on what's going on at the Reed Park Zoo. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the opportunity. Come back and see us again, okay? All right.
That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Very pleased with today's show. I'm pleased with all the shows, but today was, I believe, very informative for all of our listeners over Southern Arizona. Remember, the Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger and Associates Certified Public Accountants. They're located at 2919 East Broadway. Please support all of the Buckmaster Show sponsors, all good people. We handpick the people who are sponsors on this program. Believe me, if I don't endorse them, they're not on the Buckmaster Show. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. We'll see you tomorrow at noon. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.